behavior isn't random.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior is a form of communication.
Yep.
And especially with kids, because they don't know how to verbally communicate what they're thinking, what they're feeling, mm-hmm. what they need. I've heard it said that kids will often ask for you to love them in the most unloving way. Kids are born with the capacity to feel emotions, but knowing what to do with those emotions is a learned behavior.
Yes.
And they need a mature parent to model that yep. for them, how to have emotions and how mm-hmm. to manage them.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we are the Hesses. Katie, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good.
Good.
Good. I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about kids and their behavior. We're going to talk about what's normal. I think what maybe should be expected. But also that same behavior is often assumed by parents to be like bad, bad behavior.
Sure. Yep.
And let's talk about the possibility that maybe sometimes our kids aren't bad, but we're just immature.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And yeah. So let's talk about that.
Cool. Let's do it.
So when I think about immaturity, there are a couple things that come to mind. So of course, kids are immature.
Mm-hmm.
That should be known. It should be expected.
Yeah.
But when I think about how immaturity is like displayed in people, mm-hmm. not just in kids, but in adults too, when I think about what that looks like, I think about irresponsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, I know we have whole episodes on this, but for anybody new,
mm-hmm.
give a very quick definition of what I mean by that. So responsibility, the word responsibility broken down, means the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And a response is different from a reaction.
Yeah.
So when I don't know or am not yet willing to take responsibility for myself, for my emotions, for my actions, for my words, my behavior, for all that, if I'm not willing to take responsibility, I'm going to outsource that responsibility
mm-hmm.
to the people around me,
yep.
to you, to the kids. I'm going to make you guys responsible for managing my emotions.
Right.
And so if I'm an irresponsible parent, I don't have the ability to respond. I only have the ability to react. And
right.
my kids do something I don't like, I'm going to get very reactive. I'll
yeah.
probably react with anger.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll find a way to justify my anger. It'll be their fault. Because if they would just
right.
do X, Y, or Z, then I wouldn't, you know, have to mm-hmm. be so angry. So to me, that is one of the marks of immaturity.
Yep.
I think that immature people, thinking about kids again, they don't really have the ability to think about the future the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
They are very much in the present.
Right.
And that makes them very reactive
yes.
to what they're thinking and feeling and experiencing right now.
Yes.
Without having the ability to think about how they might act differently in order to produce a better outcome or a better future
yeah.
for themselves.
Right. I mean, if you've been around a kid for half of a day, you know that if they see like some kind of treat, whether it's like somebody else has one,
uh-huh.
there's an advertisement for one,
yep.
it's just in the cabinet that you open for 2 seconds and yep. they see it. They need that right now.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't thinking about it up
yep.
until the point that their eyes actually saw it.
Mm.
But now that they've seen it, that's like the most important thing ever to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the answer is no to those treats,
yes.
what happens 98% of the time? They're like, oh, please. You know, it like turns
yep.
into this big thing where like just 10 seconds before they hadn't even thought about it. But
yep.
now it feels like life or death to them. Like, I must get this treat.
Yeah.
It's so that that's that reactionary like, okay, I see this and now I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no like, well, what if I had today? Is it about to be dinner time? Like, have we already had a ton of sweets? There's none of that like logical thinking in there. It's just
yeah.
the reaction. I want it and I'm going to do what I feel like is going to get it to me now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great illustration. And we have talked about this long ago in one of our earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a great example. So a kid who wants a treat they may throw a tantrum or they may throw a fit if they're told no. And again, immature people don't know how to think about how to act in the moment in order to produce a desired future, a desired outcome.
Mm-hmm.
They just know what they want now, and it's very emotional, very reactive.
Yep.
Now, a kid will throw a fit because they want a treat, and a parent will do one of two things. They will either match their kid's emotional escalation, I should say an immature parent.
Sure.
So an immature parent will do one of two things. They'll do the same thing where they'll become very reactive in the moment, and their kid's emotional escalation will become theirs.
Yep.
And again, the parent, the immature parent who is probably acting irresponsibly, will justify their anger, justify their emotions because they're the parent and they know best and, you know.
Yep, and their kid's being annoying.
So yes, the kid's being annoying. And
what else are they going to do?
Yep. So they're going to do their best to outlaw emotions and they'll get angry at the kid, or they will give them the cookie, not thinking about how what they're doing in the present is going to produce in the future.
Right.
In the way that, like, if you give a kid what they want because they're throwing a tantrum, if you reward their tantrum, they're going to learn that tantrums work.
Yes.
And the next tantrum is just as much your fault as it is theirs.
Right, yeah, because they learned, oh, me throwing this fit actually resulted in me getting exactly what I want.
Yes.
So I'm just going to keep doing that. That's easy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to scream and yell until I get the cookie. Then great.
Yeah, but I think about kids and just their behavior often, and I just love thinking about, like, our own kids. And we've used a few examples actually recently just about things that our kids do that we have just learned is very normal kid behavior.
Yeah.
It used to frustrate me. It used to annoy me. Yeah. And I wouldn't react super responsibly or maturely. But as I learn more and more about what is normal and natural in kids, in their development, and how that expresses itself through their behavior.
Yeah.
The more I learn about that, the easier it is for me to just stay, like, cool, calm, not let their behavior dictate my emotions and not let it become my own emotional escalation, but to let them, whether it's a tantrum, whether it's, you know, just something else that's annoying, letting them do that without it, like, totally affecting me.
Yeah. Yeah. And throwing you off and making it harder for you to actually respond rather than just react out of that annoyance or frustration or just whatever that feeling is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a hard line to walk, because on one hand, they are immature. So kids are going to fight. They're going to yell. They're going to hit. They're going to disobey. They're going to do all those things. So there's no getting around that. But at the same time, the question is, how do we recognize that that's normal while leading them into, like, a more excellent way of being? So, like, what does that look like to say, I understand that this is, like, a very normal reaction for a kid? This is very normal, typical kid behavior.
Yeah.
While also not condoning it or approving of it. And so that's, like, that's the key.
Right. That's finding, like, the sweet spot right in the middle of being like, okay, I'm going to remain calm while you're having this reaction, this freak out, whatever it is. I'm going to stay calm. I'm also going to show you that this is not the way to get good results in life. Just in general, because most of the time, you know, there are plenty of adults who have not learned that those response or those reactions don't get good results because it's worked for them because they've had immature parents or immature leaders who have just really not had the patience to actually form that maturity in themselves. And so they just want to take the easy route and say, here, just take what it is that you want and leave me alone. But a mature parent says, hey, I see what you're doing, like what you said earlier. Like, I understand that this is difficult for you.
Yeah.
you are like, these are real emotions that you're feeling. You're not being manipulative. You're not being like mean and bad. You are just genuinely, your brain cannot compute what is going on. And taking that and steering them, like re-steering the ship.
Yes. Taking, redirecting them.
Yes. Yeah. Taking hold of the steering wheel and saying, okay, let's come back to like a level head and just being there. Really, like, presence as a parent is so key.
Yeah.
And not getting in there, especially in the middle of a tantrum. If you try to correct right in the middle of the heat of the moment, good luck.
Yeah.
Because that really like never works, because their brains are just like firing rapidly in that moment. Their emotions are on edge. Everything is crazy. And so they're not hearing anything that you say in that moment. But if you are just there and you're present and you say, hey, I'm going to stay with you. I'm not scared of your emotions. I'm not afraid of what you're saying to me right now, but I'm here to show you what a calm and present person looks like in this tension, whether it's, you know, really trivial or really intense. You know, it can be both, that you are steady, you're there, ready to help them whenever they are back to a calm place.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, we are there for as parents, you know, huge part of it.
Yeah. We've never told our kids, you can't do something that we know they can do.
Right.
We've told them they're not permitted to, but that's different. So you can't really tell a kid that you can't throw a tantrum because whether they throw a tantrum isn't up to you. Right. It's up to them.
They are definitely able to throw tantrums.
You can't really tell your kid you can't hit your sibling because they have hands and they are fully able to hit their siblings if they want to.
Yep.
So again, that doesn't mean that you condone it or that you permit them to do that.
Right.
So yeah, we don't tell our kids like you can't do something if it's something that they have the ability to do because it's untrue. Able.
Yeah.
It's untrue. You can't tell somebody you can't hit because they can. Yeah. It's just not up to you whether they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think a big part of maturing is recognizing that it's not my job or my responsibility to control you, to manage you. It's just my job and my responsibility to manage and control myself.
Yes.
So I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to tell you what I will do if you do this.
Yes.
And that is a totally different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that is like, that's what healthy boundaries is all about.
Right.
Boundaries is never about telling people what to do. It's always about telling other people what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the shifts that happens as people mature is that they stop trying to control people around them. They stop trying to tell everybody else what to do. And they start focusing on just managing themselves.
Yeah, which is a way more peaceful way to live and way easier.
Yeah.
You think that it's easier if you get full control of your kids, but we're here to tell you, you can't get full control of your kids. So that's just an uphill battle that you're never going to reach the top.
Doesn't exist.
But if you can learn that, like, you do have the ability to control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only person you can. And no matter what is going on around you, no matter what your kid's doing, no matter what your boss is doing, no matter what your husband or wife is doing, you can still remain peace. You can still remain in control of your emotions. You can still, you know, be that steady person.
And again, that comes with having the ability or even the desire, the willingness to cast a vision for your future.
Yes.
And decide who it is that you want to be.
Right.
Who do you want to be as a parent or as a spouse or whatever? And then deciding, okay, well, how can I act today in such a way that will lead me to this desired outcome, that I will move towards the goal of becoming this type of person. Again, kids don't have that.
Right.
Many parents don't even have that.
Right.
If we're being honest. But it's something that we are like working on every day. It's just figuring out, how can I manage myself and control myself? How can I get through today without allowing my kids to control my emotions?
Yes.
Because think about long-term, if you've got a kid in your house for, we'll just say 18 years, If they spend 18 years being shown that we don't yell by being yelled at, or that we don't hit by being hit, or, yeah. you know,
yep.
like you're teaching them the exact opposite message that you're trying to.
Right. Yeah.
So if a kid grows up and they hit their sibling mm-hmm. and your response or your method of correction is to hit them,
yeah.
you're teaching them, you're reinforcing the idea that, hey, when something happens that we don't like, we hit. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Right.
And kids don't care about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They care about what you're doing.
Yes.
They're not just listening. They're rarely listening. They're always watching.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but like on the other hand, think about a kid who grows up in a home where their parents are in control of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're calm. They're firm. They set boundaries.
Yes. Yeah.
They communicate what is expected, what mm-hmm. the standards are, what's permitted. But they don't try to instill those values by using fear and anger and by hitting and by yelling.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a totally different outcome.
Yes.
If you raise a kid in that type of an environment.
Absolutely. Because they will see that like steadiness, the calm manner, being able to handle conflict with mm-hmm. confidence rather than just throwing whatever.
Yeah.
flies into your brain out. And that is what you model mm-hmm. is what's going to be caught by yeah. your kids, not what you say. They may catch some things that you say here and there. We're not saying that like it's pointless to talk to your kids.
Right.
All for talking to your kids. Please talk to your kids.
Yes.
Please, you know, over explain when you need to. But that modeled behavior is really what's going to stick
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, it really is just so. When you think about it, of like, if you teach your kid to not hit by spanking them, that's very counterintuitive
yeah.
and so confusing for a kid. It's like, well, you just told me not to hit, but then you literally just hit me
yeah.
to try and teach me not to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
That's so confusing for a kid who's trying to learn and navigate all those new emotions that they're feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, while you were talking, I was reminded of an illustration that we had heard involving charades. This is really funny, really helpful. And, but yeah, while you were talking, I had thought of it. So
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This illustration honestly helped me redefine what this like term is really. Yes. I was like, oh, I've never really thought about it that way. So when you hear about a kid acting out, what do you think of?
That's the phrase that everybody uses when kids are basically being kids, but
yes.
when they're having their like emotional,
right.
emotionally escalated reaction
yes.
to something.
Oh, they're really acting out today.
That's the phrase people
man.
Use.
Yeah, yeah, like, I don't know what's going on with my kid. They're just acting out like crazy. I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
And so this illustration was redefining acting out as almost like just playing a game of charades with your kid.
Yeah.
Instead of acting out being like just associated with negative behavior, it's kind of putting it in a new point of view and saying like, okay, well, and when you're playing charades, you have an idea in your head, but you're not allowed to speak it. But with kids, with charades in this like framework, kids have an idea in their head, but they're not able
yes.
to put words to it because they're not developmentally like there yet.
Yeah.
And so when a kid is acting out, they're actually just trying to show you, I am feeling this really big emotion right now, and I don't know how to tell you
yeah.
what I need. I don't know how to tell you how I'm feeling when they're having those big emotions and they're acting them out. They're showing you, I need help. And us as parents can step in and say, hey, it looks like you're feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
And you can put a name to that emotion. And so you are literally playing charades with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're not calling out characters, you're calling out emotions.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, it looks like you're feeling really sad or disappointed or frustrated or angry, whatever the emotion may be. And then the kid can be like, oh, yes, that's what it is. That's mm-hmm. what I'm feeling. And then you can kind of help them navigate back to peace and joy and, you know, reassure them that like, hey, this is okay. You're safe to feel this, but let's, you know, let's help you get up out of it.
Yeah. So it's either, like you said, the kid is experiencing a really big emotion and they don't know how to manage that, which again, that's very normal.
Yeah.
Kids are born with the capacity to feel emotions, but knowing what to do with those emotions is a learned behavior.
Yes.
And they need a mature parent to model that for them, how to have emotions and how to manage them and handle them.
Yep.
But the other thing, and you touched on this too, the other reason kids will act out is because they need something and they don't know how to verbally communicate that they need something.
Yes.
Often what they need is connection.
Right.
They need time with you. They need your attention. So if kids have like a, I guess you could say like a deficit of attention, like they're not getting the connection that they need from you, that will manifest itself in what parents often call acting out.
Yes.
And then that kid will get in trouble for acting out because they needed something from you that they didn't know how to tell you.
Yep.
I've heard it said that kids will often ask for you to love them in the most unloving way.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And I think that's really true. Mm-hmm. But again, how often do kids get labeled as bad because they don't know how to handle their emotions? They don't know how to communicate what they need. And they're constantly getting in trouble for needing connection.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, so all we see is the behavior.
Yes.
And so it's like, well, just quit doing that. Why are you doing that? Yes. Why are you making that annoying sound over and over again? Like, what's happening? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's important to remember that behavior isn't random. Behavior is a form of communication.
Yep.
And especially with kids, because they don't know how to verbally communicate what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they need. They act it out. And often their behavior is very undesirable.
Yeah.
But I know we talk about this a lot, so sorry for people who listen a lot and
refresher every week.
But if you will focus your energy and your time more on making sure that your kids are feeling well connected to you, you will find that you don't have to deal with that stuff nearly as much.
Right.
Now, kids, they're still kids. They're still going to have their fits, and they're still going to get emotionally escalated easily. Yeah. They're going to be reactive. That's how they're wired. But we have found that if we will take the emphasis off of their behavior and focus more on our own behavior.
Yes.
And if we will, I recently heard or read something that was like between a parent and a kid, one of them has a developed brain. One of them doesn't. Act accordingly.
That's awesome.
If you are in this like tense moment with your kid where they're emotional and you're emotional, it's like, okay, their brain is super undeveloped.
Right.
Mine is developed. So like, what can I do to just act as if that's true? But like often we hold our kids to a higher standard than we're able or willing to do.
Right.
When it comes to behavior, when it comes to managing emotions.
Right. Yeah. If we just instantly jump to matching their emotions, ding, 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 you are not modeling an emotionally regulated person.
Right.
You are showing them exactly what they're showing you.
Yep.
You are joining them in the acting out. And the thing about kids, too, with connection is even if it's like negative connection, that's enough for them in those moments of acting out.
Yep.
If you get onto them, if you, you know, have that like hard conversation with them where like you feel like you're getting them in trouble, but they're like, oh, mom or dad, they're talking to me. I'm getting connection. I'm getting what I was looking for. But like, that's not what we want our kids to want. We want to establish the healthy connection where it's a good connection, where we can have positive conversations. And, you know, of course, the harder conversations are going to come no matter how good of a connection that you have with your kid. But you don't always want that connection that they're going after to be like a negative, in a negative context. You want them to feel connected to you without needing that acting out to come into play.
Yeah. So kids crave connection. They crave our time. Mm-hmm. And ideally for them, they'll get it through play. They'll get it through time spent together, doing things, being intentional.
Yeah.
Ideally for them, that's how they'll get it. If they can't get that from you because you're not willing to offer your time and your attention to them, then, they will act out.
Yeah.
And they will try to get your attention, even if it's you yelling at them. They would rather have the attention of an angry parent than your total absence.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's offer like a couple practical things for parents to think about. So on one hand, remember this, always remember this, that it's not your job to manage your kids' emotions. And it's also not your kids' job to manage your emotions. That if you will put your effort and your time into becoming the type of person who has self-control, who has vision for who they want to be, and are taking active, even if it's just baby steps in that direction, if you will just actively take small baby steps in that direction and learn how to behave today in such a way that you will become the type of person that you want to become, it will change like everything about your relationship with your kids.
Yeah. And connection, I feel like when we talk about it in a broader sense, it sounds really big and scary. Like, well, how do I connect with my kid? Like, what does that even mean? What does that look like?
Yeah.
So a few like practical ideas for connection, especially with younger kids, it really doesn't take much. Like if you know that you have like your schedule for the day, that you have like a 10-minute break of where you can just fully invest with your kid.
Yeah.
That will be enough for them.
Yeah.
They, which like, you know, I encourage spend more than 10 minutes with your kid in the
day. Sure.
But, you know, like if you can take an intentional time and even just like vocalize it to your kid, say like, hey, like this is what I need to do here. Like I have some work to do in the morning, but right here, like from 10 o'clock to 10:15, like I'm all yours. Come up with ideas that you want to do together, you know, like get their brains thinking of what they would want to do, play a board game, bake some cookies, go on a walk.
Yeah.
Just hang out and look at old pictures together. Like it's so, you can make it really simple, but just having that uninterrupted time where you're not looking at your phone, you're not having to get up a million times, you know, to go do other stuff, and you are just there focused on your kid, they will see like, oh, I'm valued by my parent. They want to spend time with me. And yeah, it really like simplify it. And yeah, that'll be good for them.
Yeah. There have been times where I'm working on something and it's hard because I like we're home so much just because the nature of our work.
Right.
We just don't like we just do a lot of it from home. And so I think that's hard sometimes for the kids because Nora recently has been bringing up often that I work so much.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because it's like, Nora, like you don't even know. Like if I had like an office job and I was gone from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Right.
Like that would be very normal.
Yes.
And you know,
you have dinner time and bedtime. And so, and that's it.
But anyways, like I understand from her perspective, it's hard because it's like, well, dad's always home, but he's like always on his computer. He's always, you know, doing stuff on his phone. And that's hard too, because there is so much that I do that requires me to be on the phone.
Yeah.
And so true. Like, that's a bummer.
It's like, we're not just on our phones because we want to be, and we're,
It's
has a purpose.
But anyways, there have been times where Nora, well, like if I'm in the basement or in the bedroom or whatever, I'm on the computer and she like really wants to hang out. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'll tell you what. I need like an hour to finish up what I'm working on. And I'll say like, if you'll give me an hour and just let me like focus and let me get this done, then we'll go do, then tell me what you want to do and we'll go do something.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, I might put a time limit on it. Say like for like a half hour or whatever, you know?
Yep.
And usually it's something like Legos. That's her favorite thing to do with me.
Yes.
But I'm always careful to communicate to her, like, I want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
There is this thing that I need to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you will allow me to do this, then I would love to go do whatever with you. If it's yes. Legos, if it's a board game, something yep. like that. But at the end of the day, kids will act out, or they will act in such a way that a lot of people would qualify as like bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Simply because they're lacking connection. They're lacking our time and our yeah. attention. And again, they don't know how to ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so so it shows up in their behavior.
Yeah.
And it's often very undesirable behavior.
Right.
It can come across as really disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we are finding, like, all the time, more and more this is becoming true, that if we will focus our time and our effort and our energy on understanding what our kids need and meeting those needs,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of that, quote-unquote, acting out kind of goes away.
Right.
The question we would have our listeners ask themselves is, are my kids being bad or am I just immature?
Mm.
What is it that my kids actually need? And are they getting what they need from me? Or have I put an expectation on them to be more mature and more emotionally regulated than I am?
Sure.
And if that's the case, take the focus off of your kids' behavior, put it on yourself, mm-hmm. focus on your behavior, and you'll find that by modeling more excellent behavior to your kids, that they'll follow suit.
Yes. Yeah, and with this too, just a quick wrap-up mm-hmm. point. Remember that if you are making big changes, that they take time to actually settle in with yeah. your kids. Like, if you have been a parent that you realize, like, oh, shoot, I've been acting immaturely.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been, like, influencing this behavior in a certain way, you know, and making it a little bit worse. When you start acting maturely, changes may not happen overnight.
Yeah.
Your kid's not going to be like, oh, mom and dad are mature now. Now I don't have to do that anymore. They'll continue those learned behaviors
mm-hmm.
because they worked before. But now you can show them like, oh, yeah, that's actually not going to be how we do things anymore. And just do your best to remain level-headed and
yeah.
calm and a peaceful, steady source for your kids to come to when things feel scary. And they'll eventually start to follow suit. But changes take time when you shift things around.
Yeah. Play the long game.
Yeah.
Cast a vision for who you want to be and who you want your kids to become mm-hmm. as they grow up. And then start small and start thinking, what can I do today that will eventually lead us to this outcome?
Yes.
Great.
Awesome.
We have a couple of favors to ask for everybody listening. First, if you're listening on any audio platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review, that is a very small thing you can do that helps us in a really big way. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could do us a favor and like this video and subscribe, that is also a very small thing you can do that helps us in a really big way. But that is going to be it for this episode.
Alrighty.
Okay. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.